She is immortal. A thousand years old. And she cannot die. A creature of legend. Like the Raven. A thief who stole the sun and the moon. They sent a warrior to bring her back. He found her. Together, they brought back light to the world. I was a cop. To me, she was just a thief. Another day on the job. But she wasn't. She changed my life. Changed everything. And both of us knew from that moment on, nothing would ever be the same.
And welcome into Let's Watch Highlander. This is Let's Watch Highlander, The Raven, Episode 5, So Shall Ye Reap. And here to talk with you about it as we are every week, I am Travis, a.k.a. TV's Travis, and over there, that is the Audie Norman. Audie, how are you?
Doing good, man. It's been a week. It has been a week.
I hear you.
Not any, like one of those weeks where it's just like, there's not any one thing you can say made it a week, but it's just been everything.
It's death by a thousand paper cuts. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it. Well, I mean, it's another week, and it's another episode of Highlander the Raven. And
yeah, it is.
Another instance of me kind of saying, eh?
Like, I know we're committed to doing this, but this at this episode, I'm like,
listen,
we keep watching?
We're doing this for you, okay? For you, yeah. Gentle listener. We are going through this. It ain't easy. I'm going to just say that. Like,
yeah.
As much as I love the character of Amanda, and Elizabeth Grayson is fantastic.
Right.
I really hope the series gets better, but I'm also not holding my breath that's going to happen, because it's just, it is what it is. Well, why don't we just get into what the episode is? How does that sound?
Sure.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So, when we get inside, who gets to be the good cop and who gets to be the bad cop?
We're not cops.
So what are we going to say? Hi, it's none of our business, but we're investigating a possible federal conspiracy. Three people are dead and you may be next. And sir, how are you today?
Let's just knock on the door.
So this episode opens up with a guy at a lab. He's doing some sort of experiment. There's something going on. It's at a college, right? That's what it was?
So yeah.
Campus of a college.
University, yeah.
Yeah, and he's in his lab doing whatever. You've got all the goings on around the college. Some guy's cleaning a window. An assistant comes in with lunch, I guess. Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, just set it over on the table. And as the scene is unfolding, I was like, that guy is cleaning that window for entirely too long. So clearly something's up.
Yeah.
As the assistant or whomever puts the food down, they also unplug something. I'm not sure what exactly it was, but...
After the fact, I think it was unplugging the telephone.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
See, kids, back in the day, landlines were an actual line telephone that connected.
It was a physical cable, and if that was unplugged, you couldn't call anyone.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. Thinking about it, that is what that was. Anyway, the guy grabs his sandwich, takes a bite of it, and starts choking. And coughing or whatever, struggles around, tries to take a drink or whatever. It was like his milk carton, but clearly wasn't milk. He's locked in the room. He chokes and dies. With the whole time, they keep cutting back to the window washer, just staring in there watching it. This guy's thrashing around. It's like, so nobody heard the commotion. And nobody saw the window washer just staring into that room the whole time. Sure. Yeah, whatever.
It's so funny. Total tangent. But the only thing I could think about with that window washer was an old episode of G.I. Joe.
Yes.
Where they get a call
from the Viper
about the Viper is coming. And at the end of the episode, he's the window Viper. He's come to wipe your windows.
Oh, that is such a great episode of G.I. Joe, because it's just so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
It's so dumb, and I love it.
Right.
So we get our opening credits, skip those, and episode starts, So Shall Ye Reap. And it's we get Nick is working out in his apartment.
Workout montage.
Yep. When Amanda arrives, and she's kind of hemming and hawing about asking him for help. But
I was like, Amanda's coming to him? Wow.
Yeah. So her friend, Charlie, was this guy's dad, the guy that died.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wants Nick's help to try and figure out who killed Charlie's son, because Charlie believes he was murdered. The police think it was an accident.
Right.
And Nick is reluctant, but says, fine, okay, let's go meet him. So they go to the retirement home where Charlie lives. Charlie is in his 70s, old, you know, broken down, walking with a cane. But he believes that his son was killed. That it wasn't an accident. That all four members of his team and the project they were working on all died recently, all seemingly of accidents. We get
three of the four so far.
That's true. Three of the four now, because Charlie's son Chuck was the third. And we get a little bit of Amanda and Charlie's background. Charlie knows she's an immortal. They met 30 years earlier, 1968, in Prague. And so she has feelings for him. It's just somebody who's touched her life, apparently. Although, you know, obviously we know nothing about him. He was in some sort of covert operations. Vaguely CIA. We don't know. It's never fully explored. But he kind of knows, look, stuff isn't always on the up and up. He doesn't believe that it was an accident. So Nick says, fine, I'll take a look. And, of course, there's the customary moment of Nick saying, okay, I'm going to do this alone. And Amanda saying, no, you're not. And them being, you know, butting heads when he just relents anyway. So I don't, that trope really drives me up a wall. But
especially with a series like this, where it's like, okay, we've done that. Stop doing that. Skip it. Like, have an argument, but have it be two sentences instead of 10.
Yep. We're five episodes in. We don't need another one of those. So they go to check things out. Nick pulls some police files. And sure enough, it's, you know, one was a drunk driving accident where his blood alcohol level was super high. And the other person had a heart attack and they were overweight. And the son choked on a sandwich, which was weird because they never really explained what killed him. They said that in that passing, you know, choked on a sandwich, but like, was it an allergy that they exploited?
Right.
Cause it was supposed to look like an accident. So like, you know, it's the type of thing where you slip some shellfish into the guy's sandwich because, you know, he's deathly allergic to it, and it can be looked at as some sort of a oops type thing. But that was a little weird. So, they go to talk to the fourth member of the team, the scientific team. And so they head out. And of course, as soon as they pulled up in that driveway, I'm like, well, the gardeners are obviously not gardeners.
Right.
Before they even suspiciously watched them move. I'm like, yeah, they're not gardeners.
Right.
They go up to knock on the door. No one answers. So Amanda just tries the doorknob and it's unlocked. And that's good enough. And they're just going to go inside anyway. Yeah. And when they do, the house is all ransacked.
Yep.
So Nick, of course, pulls his gun. I was like, wait here. Amanda doesn't wait there. They go towards the back of the house. They hear a gunshot. They go to check it out. And I do like Nick being like, get down. And Amanda just looking at him like, why?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I'll give him that.
That was good.
And they find the fourth member of the team out back, apparently died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Right.
That is the way the scene is meant to look. So the police show up. Nick now doesn't think this was an accident.
Right.
The police show up, but then also with them is a Fed. There's a federal agent. Martin Foster, played by Chuck Shimada. And he is quite friendly. I did love his moment with the reporter, because the news reporter comes up that Nick knows from his time in the police force that he can't stand. She's the super nosy reporter.
What's that like?
Yeah, I know. Believe me, my eyes rolled super hard at that. but I did like when the police officer, or when the Fed walks up and starts talking, and she just shoves the microphone in his face, and he says stuff without saying anything, and then tells her to leave, and she's like, "What, you think I'm just going to go?" And he just calls over an officer, and he's like, waves her away. That made me laugh.
Yeah.
That was,
yeah.
That got a chuckle out of me. But yeah, this Martin Foster is very friendly. Too friendly, I would say.
Yeah.
And he gives him his card in case anything happens, even though he's like, look, accidents like this kind of thing happen a lot. We're not sure. But Charlie's an old friend. We work together.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, he has all sorts of wild stories, blah, blah, blah. And then the next scene is Foster with Charlie at the retirement home talking to him.
Right. I gotta say, though, it was so timely. The one thing he said about Charlie's crazy stories, you should hear about his theory on Tupac. I was like,
yeah. Well, first it was JFK, and then it was Tupac. Yeah, I did.
Right.
I did like that. So then we see Foster with Charlie at the retirement home, and Foster basically telling him, just let it go. Stop pursuing it. You know we're going to win. You can't win this. There's nothing, blah, blah, blah. Like, calling him out, talking about, you know, yeah, you manufactured truth for 30 years or whatever it was.
Right.
So Charlie goes to Amanda and Nick and basically says, okay, guys, please don't look into this anymore. I was wrong. It was an accident, blah, blah, blah. And that's fine, which neither one of them believe. Now Nick is bought in, and so they're going to continue to investigate, and they go back.
I loved earlier when Amanda's like, so I was right, and he's like, Charlie was right.
Yep, that was pretty good. So they go back to the guy's house, looking around. You know, there's no police tape, the crime scene. There's not a crime scene, right? So they can just poke around in this guy's house. Sure, why not? But what they find
somebody took everything else, so.
Yeah. Well, so they notice, Amanda's like, they didn't find what they were looking for. And then they notice some of the plants outside the garden. The guy whose house it was a botanist. And they notice some of the plants look not quite right. And they go and check it out, and there's a small little container, like, wrapped up in plastic and tape and stuff. Underneath one of the plants. And as that's happening, they get attacked.
Yeah, they do.
There's a guy with a gun shooting at him, and a woman, it's the gardeners that we saw earlier. So one of them is shooting at Nick, and Nick is shooting back. Amanda gets into a hand-to-hand fight with the woman, knocks her out, and Nick shoots the other guy, only to find out they're feds.
Of course.
So they take off, right? Flee the scene of a crime. I did like Nick in the following scene being like, I can't believe I shot a Fed. And Amanda's like, look, they were covert ops. It doesn't matter. He's like, covert ops? How do you know? Look, if they were doing anything legal, they'd already be here to arrest us. So we get a little bit of back and forth. They take, they get the package open, and it's a bunch of seeds.
Can I just say, Amanda's sitting there having trouble with the Altoid things wrapped up in tape, and Nick then just pulls out his knife. I'm like, are you kidding me?
It was
like, in what world would Amanda have that kind of trouble? I was just like,
Yeah, I did. That was not good. So it's seeds. So they take the seeds to Charlie. They're like, hey, what the hell is this? And now he understands what it is.
Yeah.
And he has a little bit of a breakdown moment and kind of gets up and walks out. And Amanda has to go console him a little bit. She's like, look, let me talk to him. She goes to talk to him. You know, he's obviously, he's an old man now. I did like the line of, you know, some days I get up, my back doesn't hurt and my knees don't creak. And then I look in the mirror and I wonder who's the old guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm still me on the inside.
Right.
And we get a little flashback to, Charlie and Amanda back in, Prague again, dancing. When she is apparently shot by a sniper for whatever reason.
Right.
In front, you know, in his arms and dies, but then comes back. So that's how he finds out about her.
Right.
It's a weird scene. I have thoughts on this flashback stuff. So Charlie tells them that the seeds are wheat seeds laced with estrogen progestin, and it's a it is a project, like a black op off the books project to reduce the population of countries by planting those seeds and basically sterilizing the population.
Yeah.
And and meanwhile, we get, you know, Martin Foster again. He's sending more people after him.
Bunch of suits show up this time.
Yeah, they send a bunch of suits. They did get out in a clever manner, and I did like the way they tried to get out from the old folks home with the gurney and Charlie underneath the Charlie on the gurney is the dead body because a person had passed away there earlier that day.
Right.
So the hearse was out back.
And I mean, it was funny that the lady comes out. I was like, you forgot the actual dead person. Okay, that was funny. Let's have a fight. Okay, I wish it would have been smoother. I wish they would have just gotten away.
Yeah. I mean, the fight was pretty silly. But they get away, and then as they're driving, more of the feds come after them. So Amanda, while driving this hearse, pulls like a, you know, handbrake turn in the middle of traffic, and then they get pulled over and arrested.
Yeah.
So they're in jail. And Foster, meanwhile, is like, why are these two still alive? What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to stop this. And Nick wants his phone call. And Nick calls the reporter.
Yep.
And tells her, basically drops everything on her. So when they get released, they go to leave. And Nick's like, well, what about my envelope of stuff? And they're like, hey, it's gone. So the reporter came and took it. I don't know how that works.
Yep.
None of that makes any sense, but whatever.
No.
Sure. As they're leaving the police station, Foster shows up again, openly threatening them.
Right.
Like, this is a guy who supposedly worked in CIA's type black ops for how long, and he's just basically saying, I'm going to kill the three of you. You don't let this go, that. To which Nick says, "Look, I don't have your seeds. I don't have your stuff anymore." And he's like, "I don't believe you." Fine. You know what? I want to show you something. And they go back to Amanda's apartment and turn on the news. And there's the reporter laying it all out there. And basically, Foster and his little crony just leave. You're like, "Well, I guess we're beaten." Oh darn! And away they go.
Yeah.
And then we cut to whatever it is, like 10 days later after the grand jury is convened. So who knows how much time has passed. But basically, the guy gets off scot-free. Just hand-wavy, like 10 days of testimony, and they let him. They completely let him off the hook. And as he's leaving the courthouse, and Amanda and Nick are wondering where Charlie is, and Amanda's like, we need to find him. We see Foster talking to reporters, and then camera cuts, and there's Charlie, pulls a gun, and shoots Foster right there in front of everybody.
Yeah.
To which one of his men pulls a gun, shoots Charlie, And the episode mm-hmm. ends with Charlie dying in Amanda's arms. Is basically what how it ended.
Yeah.
And a little denouement of like remembering Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever, you know, Nick, because there is a little bit of Nick asking Amanda, like, how do you do it? How do you do this immortal thing? Like,
yeah,
they're trying to weave that in here and there, which I do appreciate them not just doing like a big dump of here's what it's like to be an immortal. It's a lot of Nick asking a question and Amanda giving him some answer to it. But I don't know. The context is weird. It's okay.
Yeah.
But that ends the episode. It just Charlie shot the guy mm-hmm. who set everything up and then got shot and died. And Amanda got to move on.
Yeah. That's it. That's all, folks.
You should get him to tell you his theory on the Kennedy assassination. He does a run on Ruby. It's a mind blower. And that that rap guy in Las Vegas.
Tupac Shakur?
That's the one, yeah.
It's not great. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
There's some big problems with this one. The chief amongst which, it's way too complex and too involved of a plot for a single episode of a syndicated TV show. It's too much for a 40-minute show.
Because there's so much in this episode that is just hand-wavy to get it going from one place to another.
Yep. And like, I don't have a problem with hand-waving things here and there. Sometimes you have to do that just to move the plot along. But this was mostly that. Like, how did Nick get the police files? Wouldn't somebody ask him questions about that? And no, don't worry about it. And then, you know, they just walk into the house and the cops show up and question them, but let them leave. They have no reason mm-hmm. to hold them. Don't worry about it. You know, the feds just sending literally a team of suits to a retirement home to take out an old man. And nobody at the retirement home is going to question that. No, don't worry about it. That's right. Happening over there. You know, it's what this whole episode was. And it's a disservice to the story that they, I think, wanted to tell.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even like the Amanda and Charlie relationship.
Yeah.
We barely get anything other than them dancing a little bit. They knew each other in Prague back in the day.
Yeah.
Amanda gets shot for some reason. We don't know if she was the target or not, but she's the one that got shot so that Charlie could know she's immortal. Hand wavy.
And that's like Highlander typically uses, especially the series would use the flashbacks to try and flesh out the story more and or give you context, mm-hmm. right? And there was always some reason for wherever Duncan was. He was in China because of whatever happened there. He was in Japan because his boat washed up ashore after a huge storm when he was out traipsing around the globe. He was wherever he was, there was a purpose and a reason for him to be there, and we knew what that was.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would weave it into the story of, you know, he was in, you know, Northern Africa, and that's where he met this immortal for the first time he's now going to feud with or something. And this was like, we're in Prague, and that's it. There was nothing else to it. Mm-hmm. Like, we got more out of the episode with the hitman and the two of them meeting, where at least there, she was in the place with him because he hired her to steal something.
Right.
And then used her to plant the bomb. And in this, it's just like, no, we just wanted her. It's that there's nothing to it. There's no substance. There's no there. And
yeah,
I understand if you want to be vague with what Charlie did and the whole black ops part of it. I don't necessarily agree with doing that, but I understand the reasoning. However,
right.
What's Charlie doing in Prague in 68? And what's Amanda doing in Prague in 68? We don't know. We're both there.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're just both there, why is she getting shot? Was she the target or was it him? We don't know.
Yeah.
And it bugged me. It bugged me a whole lot. Because there could be a very interesting and very compelling story behind their relationship and mm-hmm. how they met and how he found out about her. If it was something like that, cool. But then give us some context and some backstory to it so we know why there's this deep connection she's got with Charlie, a character we've never heard of before.
Right. And I think you talked about before how much there was little drips and drabs of Nick asking about what's it like being immortal. I think that could have been what this episode should have been about.
Mm-hmm.
And her relationship with Charlie and her talking about watching people grow old and die when you don't do that. And I would have had the dancing and flashbacks more about her remembering Charlie just as she's talking about this stuff, not when she's with Charlie and they just kind of, you know, throw it in there as remembering what it used to be, but like have it be Amanda remembering what it was like back in the day when Charlie was young when she knew him, you know, and have more of those conversations. We didn't need all the spy crap so much in this episode. And if you're going to be hand wavy about it anyways, then why are we dealing with it so much?
Right. And I understand too, like the whole point of that is to give her a reason to go talk to Nick and to incorporate Nick into whatever it is she's working on. I think what could have been very interesting and it's a little tropey, but also kind of would have made for a better episode, especially when this came out, is Charlie is in some stages of dementia and he thinks everything is tied to what he used to do.
Yeah.
But it's not. Like in this case, his son literally did just have an accident and passed away, and he is looking for someone to blame. And because he did this stuff for the agency for however, you know, 35 years, coupled with his sliding into some dementia in his old age, he's concocted a story that he's told Amanda, and Amanda believes him because her history with him.
Yeah.
And then she brings in Nick. Yep.
As an impartial person.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been good.
That would
and
be
just have all the spy stuff and Martin and all that not come up until like the very end or something. Like, make it in. It didn't need to be in our face the whole time because we know there's no conspiracy. Like, we know Chuck Jr. was murdered. Like, we know it. So this isn't a big mystery to us at all.
Yeah. So, like, there are so many better ways they could have gone about the stuff that they were doing in this episode. And I think the focus was wrong, too. There was too much focus on the conspiracy and the crime part of it.
Yeah.
And the focus should have been on Amanda and Charlie and Nick seeing this relationship and then trying to understand what it's like to be an immortal. And like, because the conversation they have at one point, I did like where he's asking her and she's like, it's kind of like being immortal. You just get more time. But then she's also longingly looking at people and it's like, but you know, these people come into your life and you can touch them and feel them and be close to them, but you know they're going to grow old and die. And there's something to the fleeting nature of it versus the types of connections that mortals can make together that she will never know. Well, and then I love where... I was just going to say, I love where he asks her, like, well, if you had the choice to be mortal or immortal, what would you do? And her response is like, I didn't get a choice.
Right. The one other interesting conversation is the one she had with Charlie talking about this stuff. Like, Charlie's all about the conspiracies and the stuff he was involved in or not involved with and stuff. And she's like, yeah, you know, in 100 years and 200 years, none of this crap's going to matter.
Yeah.
At all. And it's like, there's another interesting perspective
of
being immortal. And that's all we get of it.
Yeah. And again, like it piggybacks on what she had said earlier with the connections and stuff. And like her point to Charlie was all of this stuff that you think is important in the long scheme of things is not. Like, history is going to remember, you know, history doesn't, it justifies the winners and it puts, you know, whoever lost But her point is, like, it doesn't matter. What matters is the connections you've made with people and remembering mm-hmm. the people that you love.
Yeah.
So then for her to have that wonderful, touching moment with Charlie that brings him back into it and makes him, like, want to go after Martin again. Is it Martin Foster? Martin Foster.
Yeah.
And for it to end on that downer of a they get him, but he gets away with it, so Charlie shoots him and then gets shot. Like, that whole thing just mm-hmm. felt like, well, who cares about Charlie then? Like, why do I care?
Right.
At that point. And that's the worst part of it, is like, it takes what could have salvaged things and at least made it a little bit better of a thing and just tosses it out the window.
Mm-hmm.
In an effort to reset to the status quo, right? Because
pretty much
if they don't do that, then the lingering question is, well, what about the government agency that was trying to do stuff? And who cares? Like, we just don't care.
And yeah.
It's a bummer because, again, yeah. as I've said, like, even the chemistry between Elizabeth Grace and Paul Johansson was better in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're working better together as the episodes go along. I will say that.
Yeah.
It's still frosty
mm-hmm.
and a little bit forced. You can tell they're just not clicking, but yeah, it's so much better.
It was definitely like, bleh, in this episode, but there were a lot more that were just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it.
It's better than the first couple of episodes. It doesn't feel like two people that don't want to be in the same room together trying to work together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Lawrence Dane as Charlie was a fun, you know, like, old man character, and the whole reminiscing, mm-hmm. and there's a lot you can do with that, and sort of the ideas of aging and mortality, and you could have had it be a thing where it's his guilt over some of the stuff he was willing to do in the name of national security.
Right.
Coming back and kind of hitting him in his golden years when he's getting closer to the end. Like, there's a whole lot of different ways you could have gone.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, every choice they had, right or left, they always chose the wrong direction to go.
Yeah.
It felt like.
Because the more I think about it, like, for the kind of guy that Charlie was, he should have taken out... I'm okay with him killing Martin. I'm not okay with the way he did it. Like, he should have done it some way.
Oh, yeah.
Either, you know, sniper or something, or some other secret way that, you know, slipped something in his pocket, accidentally, you know, stabbed him or something. You know, one of those, you know, Mission Impossible kind of deaths.
Yeah.
That they started out this show with, you know?
Hell,
and then
even
have him write a letter to Amanda that he's gone. That he's taking his last vacation or something, and make some reference to something. She's like, I know where he went.
Yeah, that could have worked. Like, even if he doesn't try to kill Martin Foster, but he, like, confronts him coming out of the courthouse after he's been vindicated, right? And he's not getting it charged. Mm-hmm. And having Charlie just, like, basically tell him, look, I know the truth, and, you know, I'm going to be watching you or something. Like, threaten him in some way.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a whole bunch of different ways you could have done that, and all of them were better than what they chose. So,
mm-hmm.
Is it unwatchable? Not entirely, but it's just kind of there. It's not great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm holding out hope that the series is going to get a little bit better, because we got plenty of episodes to get through, but
yeah,
I kind of can see why this didn't last. Because it just, is it me, or does it feel like the series doesn't know what it wants to be?
Oh, absolutely.
Which sort of dovetails off of what was wrong with season 6 of Highlander, was that mm-hmm. it was not enough of a Highlander series and too much of a, let's see what's going to stick for the spinoff series.
Right.
And, like, season 6 was good for us when it focused on what Highlander was.
Mm-hmm.
And when it deviated away from that, we were like, well, who cares? And this series just feels like it doesn't have a solid direction. Like they just they wanted to strike while the iron was hot, but they just didn't know what they were making.
Yeah, it feels like they had an outline for the show and never really roughed it out before they started making the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does, because it's sort of part police procedural, part immortal drama, and it's not really doing either very much so far. Like we got last week's episode got us a little bit of that with like the idea of somebody holding a grudge for that long and sort of immortals not letting things go.
Mm-hmm.
But like this one, you could have taken anything dealing with Amanda being immortal out of it and it doesn't change the episode at all.
Right.
And that's part of the problem, I think.
Mm-hmm.
On top of just trying way too much. It's just too much.
Yeah.
It's too much story. It's too much scope. It's too big a thing to put into a single episode of this. This would have to be, this is like a movie plot or a 2-3 episode arc. It's not a single episode that you tie up with a nice bow at the end on a syndicated show, which is basically, because the part of the thing with a syndicated show, right, is that you can't make the stakes too big on any one thing, because at the end of the day, it's got to be tied up.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because again, with syndication, you never know what episodes come and when. So
yep, they're going to play out of order. That was the thing that the series did well, was for the most part, the stakes were never, even when they had to have higher stakes, there was always some sort of out clause that would erase whatever was going on, or it was an immortal that was behind it. So if Duncan took him out, that ended the threat. And this is like, this is a threat that they can't just end, so they had to end it in a non-satisfying way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the thing that happens sometimes with shows, especially spinoffs, when they're trying to...
Yeah.
Because you want it to go in a somewhat new direction, right? But it's got to have a direction. This just feels like it's like, well... We'll try this now. We'll try this now. And no real idea of the thing they want to try. So, again, I hope it's going to get better. We're going to get through it because we have committed.
Yes.
We watched Highlander the Source. We will get through this.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I guess we can handle this.
Now, if you like this conversation, you can come hang out with us. We're moving things to Thursday nights now, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
Twitch.tv/TVStravis. It was a little breather. Audie and I do a show together with our friends Amy and Steven on Monday nights. And I do a show that records Sunday nights. So it was 2 and 3 shows in a row for us. We wanted to split that up a little bit, which I will say was quite nice.
Yes.
The show is out as a podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. Spread it word of mouth. Let people know about the show. If you enjoy this, there's 100+ episodes breaking down all of Highlander the series and all of the movies.
Yeah.
And if you have a Highlander fan, you know, tell them about it. The Highlander reboot got some news in the last week, which I'm super excited about. That's moving forward. And now that the SAG-AFTRA strike is over, they got their tentative deal, then things can start moving on, and hopefully within the next year or so they get working on that, get actually filming that Highlander reboot. The director, Chad Stahelski, is still positive moving forward on it. They're talking about using music from Queen in the movie. So I'm excited. You know, we're going to be talking about it when it comes out. So definitely, If you like this show, let people know about it. Leave ratings and reviews on your podcatcher of choice, especially places like Apple Podcasts and stuff. It helps make the show discoverable for the Highlander fans out there that you don't know. If you want to talk about Immortals and Highlander and stuff with Audie and I, we love to do that. I'm on all the social media as TV's Travis, and I'm always happy to exchange stuff like that. I also have a Discord. And if you go to tvstravis.com, you can find links for all that kind of stuff. And I love talking Immortals and Highlander all the time. So definitely do that. And Audie, you're out there on socials as well.
Yep. You can find me at the Audie Norman.
Excellent.
So feel free to shout at me about Immortals and all that stuff too. Because yeah, I'll talk about it.
Yeah, we love to hear it. And do you have an mm-hmm. idea for how this show, Highlander the Raven, could have been better? Or do you have thoughts about the episode? Like, let us know. We want to hear from you. So definitely TV's Travis or the Audie Norman and all that. So until next week, we got episode 6 is called Birthright. I'll just go do a quick rundown here. Amanda attempts to steal a medallion that was once given to her by a former slave who she befriended, but the job is interrupted by two other thieves who trip the alarm. When one of the thieves turns up dead, only to walk away later, Nick begins to wonder if he's immortal, but Amanda doesn't think so because she didn't detect him. And as Amanda continues her search, forget the Amanda continues her search. So, interesting. Is it an immortal? Is it not immortal? We're going to find out next week. It is rated, the IMDb rating of this episode is higher. So that gives me some hope.
Yeah. We'll see.
So yeah, that'll be next week on this show. As it will be episode 6, Birthright. You're definitely going to want to come back for that. But until then, just remember that there can only be like a half a dozen government agents coming after you at one time.
Mm-hmm. So I was right. Charlie was right.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.